Have a little lesson. I believe the Lord's prepared for us. I'd like to desire your prayers. Try not to weary you too long this afternoon. I'd like to look at a scripture pretty familiar to us. Found in Galatians, the 6th chapter. And 7 through 9. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Just a little thought here. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. You might be able to, as the old saying is, pull the wool over my eyes. You might fool me, but you'll not fool God. None of us will fool God. To disobey God's word and then escape his punishment might consider that as outwitting God and thus making a mockery of him and his word. And nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to do that. And since it is only a matter of time seems to be moving right along, before we reap our reward, it will pay for us to not get weary. This is a law of nature. What you and I sow, we are also going to reap. The reaping day can come here in this life, and it will surely come at the judgment if we have not been faithful to our souls and to God. I want to talk about something in particular this afternoon. This reaping. If I'm going to reap before God the things that I've sown in this life, to me, it must mean that I'm going to be held accountable. I'm thinking of accountability this afternoon. Every one of us will be held accountable before God. The Apostle Paul says in one place, and he says everyone will give an account of the deeds that they've done in this body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. We're going to give an account. I want us to consider about us being accountable right here in the right here and the now in this life. How you live and how you conduct yourselves. You may be surprised to know that for any number of other people, you're the very one that they are looking to and they are watching. They're watching our lives. Our children are watching our lives, seeing what we do in the tough decisions and in the tough places that we find ourselves in. They know. They know what we profess. They know what we believe. They know what they've been taught. They haven't forgotten those things. It may seem like it, but they haven't. So you and I have a great impact on someone. We have a great impact on someone's life, and we might not even realize it. I've been out and about among the church for many years. I've been across this country back and forth in Florida and all points in between many times. And I'm convinced, especially in being a minister, that people are watching me, seeing how I conduct myself, seeing if I'm measured up to what I teach, or to what to preach. But it's good that we are accountable before people, but folks, we're also accountable to God. And because we're accountable to God, it makes what we are sowing of utmost importance. He said again, "He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you handle it, but I have to pray and ask God, "Lord, help me to live in the Spirit, that I don't fulfill this lust that this old flesh has." Because the flesh is lustful, desires the things of the world and the things of the flesh. But I want to sow in my life the seeds that will bear fruit and will prosper and will benefit a soul. To help someone see that there is something better than the life that they're living, something better than what they may be professing. Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." I want others to be able to taste. By looking at my life and the example that I endeavor to be in the testing times, in the hard times, it's pretty easy to do it right when there's no pressure on. But when the pressure's on, when things become difficult, he went on to say, that's why he said, "Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So let's think for just a little bit here this afternoon about our accountability to one another, accountability to God. You know, I look forward to coming to worship service when the doors are scheduled to be open. And I look forward to you being here too. And I'm just expecting that your accountability to God and your relationship with God will cause you to want to be here. The same thing that causes me to want to be here. I want to talk about four qualities, just four qualities, that you and I find in being a good steward of our lives. That have to do with accountability. I probably won't be up here very long, but I feel this is important, and I think we all would do us good to get a hold of it. The first quality that we find in being a good steward of your life, as I said, as others are looking on, and they see these qualities in our life, it will impress them. It will cause them to want to look again. May cause them to even want to taste a little bit of what God has for them. The first quality that I believe the Lord wants you and I to have is vulnerability. Being vulnerable. It's what Christ did. When he hung on the cross, when he permitted them to nail his hands to the old wooden cross and set it up there and hang him between heaven and earth, he made himself vulnerable, didn't he? He made himself vulnerable to the people when he let them come and take him out of the garden and take him to the trial. He made himself vulnerable. He could have stood up and fought. He could have resisted. I think the Bible speaks that, what, he could call on 12 legions of angels and they would have delivered him. But he didn't do it. So today, Christ has made himself accountable to you and me, to his people. He's made himself accountable to the church. These qualities Christ represented, was represented in the life of Christ. And the example that he was to you and I, which makes this great salvation that he's given us so valuable that we have today. It's why it's so precious. It's because one man already had these qualities and produce these qualities in his life. And vulnerability means for you and I to be capable of being wounded. In other words, for you and I to be capable of someone just maybe maliciously saying things about us that should not be said, ought not be said, probably aren't even true. But being capable of being wounded, yes, it hurts. And it doesn't always feel good in things that we have to, that comes against us in this life. But vulnerability, I'm talking, now don't forget, this is being accountable before God. We are going to reap the things that we sow. And it's important that we sow these things with the graces that we have within us that come from God himself. Capable of being wounded. Being able to pick yourself up and go on. You don't let the wounds destroy you. You don't let the hurts get you down. Being able to pick yourself up and to be able to go on and be able to be strong in the truth and in the gospel of Christ. Folks, those that stay in the Word of God will have the grace and the power that they need when the trials and the tests come. Stay in the Word of God. Because when those things come, you'll have on hand what you need. God will give it to you. And He will stand behind that. He'll stand by that. And it'll be just what you need to support you. And you can say, I open up my arms and I tell you to take my best shot. Take your best shot. That's basically what Christ did. He opened up His arms. Let Him nail Him to a tree. That's how much He loved us, folks. That's how much He loved you and I. To be vulnerable can also mean to be shown to be wrong. Who of us in here likes to be told that we're wrong? We all don't like, we don't like to be told that we're wrong. We don't like to find out maybe that we're wrong when we thought we were right. But the truth of it is, folks, we're human and we make mistakes, and we really, none of us, I don't care who it is, none of us really know it all. We don't really, any of us, know it all. So to be humble and submissive to the Lord and being able to be shown, well, I was wrong. Not, well, maybe I was wrong, but no, I was wrong. What I said was wrong or what I did was wrong, and I admit and I submit that I was wrong. That makes you and I accountable to one another. It makes us accountable to God when we're willing to do that. But if someone has to force us to submit, it's a different story then, isn't it? The peace is not there. And what is portrayed to those that are looking on in our life, it's a different story to them when they see that we are resisting and we're not willing to submit and confess, well, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done it that way. I shouldn't have said that. Folks, sowing, he talks about here, sowing to the Spirit. Will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Sowing in the Spirit will give us the grace that we need to get the victory over whatever it is we're dealing with. Sowing in the Spirit. Vulnerability. Would you say you were vulnerable today? Would you say your life is open? You know, it's a lot like, I believe that we are a lot like to be a glass of water, if you will. When you hold up a glass of water, you can see through it. If the water is good and clear, you can see. It might be distorted a little bit, but it's clear. And David, whenever he was confessing before God and he had been found out about Bathsheba and her husband, he said, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. We should always be that away. Lord, help us to be transparent. Our life open before God. Don't try to hide anything. When we've been shown that we're wrong, admit that we're wrong. Humble yourselves. It is no shame to be wrong because none of us as I said before, really know it all. Vulnerability. How vulnerable are you? The next one is teachability. This is important. I think about how does that scripture say that? I didn't look it up, but it says it over there in the book of James. About the wisdom that cometh down from above is first pure, and it's peaceable, and it is what? Gentle and easy to be entreated. That's the one that I want to point out to us this afternoon. Teachability. The wisdom of God. Folks, if we have that true wisdom of God that we're asking Him for, we're easily entreated. You take someone that's messed up and you go to them and you try to help them, and we have that same scriptures right here. In the same chapter we're reading, if a man be overtaken in a fault, and you that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. So we have a responsibility to one another to restore such a one. But notice he said, you that are spiritual. There's a right way to do this, and there's a wrong way to do this. But I'm thinking more this afternoon about our response. When we find ourselves in a situation, teachability. Are you easily to be entreated? Are you easily taught? Do you have a willingness to learn? Are you quick to hear and respond to the Word of God? Or you put up a resistance? You put a resistance up, say, oh Lord, I don't know about all that. You know, the old saying years ago was, that may be the way that preacher sees it, but it ain't the way I see it. Well, I read where the Holy Spirit leads and guides every one of us into all truth. And I believe He'll bring us all to that place if we'll let Him. Being teachable. Being willing to learn. Quick to hear. And respond to the Word of God. And being open to counsel. Being open to counsel. You take someone, as I read here in the first verse, someone that's been overtaken in a fault. Obviously, they're not going to see it. They're not going to see that they were overtaken in a fault. It's going to be hidden to them, and it's going to take someone of humility to come to them in the spirit of meekness and talk to them about it. And it's going to take a spirit of meekness in that individual to get any help and get any good out of the counsel that they're endeavoring to receive. See, everything starts with humility, folks. And yet you and I are to be accountable. And you will be held accountable. I will be held accountable of how I deal with my fellow man and how I deal with God. Easily entreated. Teaching. Teachability. I pray the Lord to help us all to have an open heart, an open mind, and be willing to be taught by the Holy Spirit that He can lead us. Because if we're not teachable, He can't lead us and guide us into the truth. We gotta be teachable. We gotta be vulnerable. Let ourselves be open to the Spirit. Let Him have His way with us, don't we? Third one is availability. Making yourself available. Being accessible as Christ was. Oh, folks, how many times do you read in the Word of God when Jesus was going from town to town, or someone, the man wanted Him to come and pray for his son or his daughter, and they were very sick and low, and as He was going through the crowd, a woman pressed forward and touched the hem of His garment, and He perceived that virtue went out of Him. Folks, He was touchable. He would stop. He would take the time to deal with the one that had the need. Touchable. Availability. Being accessible as Christ was. You know, it's important for you and I. I believe we have the truth. I believe the Word of God is all truth. But you know, I've been thinking about, if I was driving down Interstate 70, headed to Marner, and I looked over on the side of the road over there, and there was a gas station, and I looked down and I saw that I needed gas, if there wasn't an access road there, I couldn't get it. If I didn't have a road to get off and get over to that station, they might have all the gas in the world, but I can't get it if I can't get there. People are looking to you and I to be accessible, to be available, because they're on those kind of roads. They're looking for help. They're looking for someone like you that has wisdom and understanding, that has Christ on board in your life. They may not even realize it, but that's what they're looking for. They want help. They don't know where to turn. Lord, help us to be available. Well, you know the struggle with availability, don't you? I'm too busy. I got things to do. I got this on my mind. I got that on my plate. I've never yet in all my years found someone that's gotten sick and needed my help that it benefited. It was just the right time for me. But I've always found that when someone was in need, I was probably busy, but I had to stop what I was doing and go help supply that need that they had. Making yourself available. We talk about God using people in the kingdom. God using people in the congregations. Using people in the churches. We talk about ministers where we're wanting the Lord to see see the Lord raise up young ministers in the church that this thing can go on. I don't know how long it's going to go on, but God knows, and He knows how to do all of that. But I can tell you this for a fact, I've learned that when God is looking for someone to use, He's not looking for your ability. He's looking for you to make yourself available. He doesn't want your ability. He wants your availability, folks. You're going to have to make yourself available. You're going to have to make time for God. Sometimes we got to make time for prayer, it seems like. Things are pressing in so much. Life gets so busy. Your feet hit the floor in the morning, the phone rings, and the next thing you know, the day's going. And the day's just going by. We got to make ourselves available. You make yourself available to God, and you make yourself available to your fellow man. You see a need there, and the Lord speaks to your heart. You go and supply that need. You go be the blessing that that person needs. You're the access. You're the access road to that individual. Our road, access road, is Jesus Christ. He's our access. The Bible tells us that in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. He's our access. You and I got to make ourselves available. We all know there's a lot of needs out there. There's a lot of people hurting. A lot of people in trouble. Make yourself available. Availability means to be touchable. Be able to touch you. I've had people in the past years, they've made the remark that they wanted to talk to me about something, but because of the way that I preached or this or that or the other, they didn't know whether they could come to me with the issue or not. I said, you can come to me anytime. Anytime you need to come, anytime you need to talk, anytime there's a burden there that the Lord is impressing you, I can help you. I want to be touchable. I want to be available. I want to be there for those that are in need. We all should be that way, shouldn't we? Jesus was touchable, meaning able to be interrupted. Oh, don't interrupt me right now. You know, I saw this little short video. There was no words, but the words were put up on the screen. The young child, daddy's busy at the computer. He comes up and says with a ball and says, "Daddy, play ball with me." He said, "Not now, son." Then he comes up, his dad's busy doing something else, and his boy comes up and says, "Daddy, I want you to do this." "Not now, son." And he goes through life that way, and the day comes, the boy graduates from college, and he's going away from home, and dad puts his hand on his shoulder and said, "Son," and son says, "Not now, Dad. Not now, Dad." Folks, those things come back to haunt you. Those things come back to bite you. Be able to be interrupted. If someone comes to you with a need or a burden, you may not feel that burden like they do. But folks, let me tell you, they need your help. People are pretty private today. We kind of keep our own private lives to ourselves. And I want to tell you, when someone comes to you and is willing to open up to you, please listen. With compassion, with mercy, with love. And understand, this is a real burden to them. Lord, help me to know how to enter into this burden. Availability. Just make yourself available. Able to have your life interrupted for just a little bit. Lord sent me down to Tennessee to a brother that was in great need down there. I told my wife, "Got to go to Tennessee. Brother Jimmy needs someone to pray with him, to be with him." Stopped my whole life there at home. Everything that I was doing, and go and do what the Lord. Keep your ears open. Keep your ears open to the Holy Spirit. Let's not be weary in well-doing, folks. Because whatever it is that God gives us to do, it's important and it's valuable to souls. And it has to do with yours and my accountability before God. We're going to give an account, Paul said, of the things we've done in this life. Whether they're good or whether they're bad. Be accessible. Be touchable. Be able to be interrupted. Christ was. He was interrupted many times. You think about Christ. Think about Jesus for just a minute here. He got the message one day from the disciples. They came and said, "Master, they've taken John out of prison and they beheaded him. And we got his body and we buried it." And they came and they told Jesus this. That was his cousin. That was the forerunner of Christ. Jesus knew what John the Baptist's duty was there. So Jesus said, "Let us go to the other side. Let's go to the other side." He wanted to get away, a chance to get alone with his thoughts and with God. But when he got to the other side, surprise, 5,000 men plus women and children for him to feed and to teach. Was he interrupted? Yeah, he was interrupted, all right. Was he touchable? Oh, it touched him. Disciples said, "You're going to have to send them away. We don't have enough food here to feed all these people." And basically Jesus said, "Whatever you have, it's enough. It's enough." He said, "I have compassion on them. And I'm not going to send them away hungry out here in this desert." Lord, help us today. We have such a wonderful Savior, a wonderful example. Let's follow it. Let's just say, "Lord, help me to be more like you. Help me to be available. Make myself available. I'm busy, Lord. I don't have time right now." But that may be the very time you're needed. Better consider it. You better think about it. People are looking to us, folks. The last one is honesty. When it comes to your accountability, we must be honest at all cost. We must be committed to the truth or to the Word of God, regardless of how much it hurts. The Word of God is quick and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Folks, it cuts both ways, going and coming. Lord, help you and I to be committed to the truth, regardless of how much it hurts. to have a willingness to admit the truth, no matter how difficult or how humiliating that it may be for us to do that. Folks, what I'm saying here, these things are hard. These things require the grace of God. You know, you and I just don't do this on our own. We need the help of the Lord to do that. To be honest is to have a godly hatred against all hypocrisy and everything that is false. We need to have that, folks. Accountability. Being honest with myself. Being honest with God. Being honest with my fellow man in my dealings. Folks, these qualities here, we need them. As people of God, we need these qualities. Vulnerability, teachability, availability, honesty. We need these qualities, folks. And I'm sure we could go with many more, but we're not. Accountability to God is inescapable and inevitable. Because he said, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. It's inescapable, folks. We're going to give an account when we've been going down this pathway and we see this fellow over here been beaten up by thieves and robbed, and we go a different way to go around them. We're going to give an account of that. When Jesus leads us to something like this, I was got a text here not long ago. Someone asked me a question about faith, and I said, where God guides, he will provide. And if he's guided you there, you're there to provide for the needs of that individual. That's what you're there for. You and I are to have compassion and mercy in reaching out to our fellow man. Look at a scripture here in Hebrews, the 13th chapter. We're going to wind this up a little here fairly quickly. Hebrews 13 and 5. Let your conversation, your behavior, your life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Folks, it's going to take an inner contentment, an inner peace. It's going to take a great love and desire heavenward for God, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them. Accountability. Remember them which have the rule over you, who are spoken, have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Remember them which have the rule over you. Now, I'll make it very, very clear. I want no one bowing to me. I want no one holding me up to any higher esteem than what I ought to be held. The Bible tells us the one that labors in the word is worthy of double honor. That's all good and well. But my main burden and my main desire is that we all make heaven. That's what I want more than anything. Remember them. Accountability to spiritual leaders is profitable to us. Being accountable. I want to read you a scripture. I don't know if you know this scripture or not, but it's found all the way over here in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter and the 20th verse. You probably do. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Someone had to stand up. When The church is in crisis. When the enemy is working in every way that he can, and people are disturbed. Things are going one direction and another direction. Someone stands up and endeavors to calm the people, to settle the people down, to be a leader before the people. It's always been that way. It doesn't make them any better than anyone else. It's just someone that God raises up, God calls. God works in that kind of a life, that He will have them in place when the time is needed to use them, availability. And He said, "Hear me, Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe His prophets, so shall ye prosper." There isn't anyone that has to do anything that a preacher says. But a preacher or a minister is given to the people to help enlighten them on the Word of God, to challenge them, to encourage them, to lift them up, and to help them along life's way. That's what he's given for. So he said, "Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God." May the Lord help us today. Believe His prophets. He said there in the Old Testament, "So shall ye prosper." And lastly, we are all accountable one to another. Let's read Romans. Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 9. "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." You see where our accountability comes in here? "Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." Lord, I'm learning it takes a lifetime to put on the graces of God. All the graces that He has for us, all the understanding that He has in the Word of God, it takes a lifetime, folks. For you and I to learn good Christian conduct, because others are looking on and we're accountable for that. One fellow said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, I want to tell you something. Paul talks about us making a brother stumble, doesn't he? It's important how we conduct ourselves before one another. The Lord will bless us, as well as blessing those that are observing our life, if we'll be faithful. Now, when it comes to accountability, I just want to point this out real quickly. Lot, Abraham's grandson, wasn't he? Nephew, thank you. Abraham's nephew. Lot was accountable to Abraham. God made it that way. He was accountable to Abraham. Joseph, when he was all the way over there in Egypt and away from his family, God made him accountable to Potiphar. When he was in Potiphar's house, he was accountable to him for his conduct. And we know what the story of how Potiphar's wife and tried to entice Joseph and all that, but he was accountable. And even though she made up a lie and it was all wrong, he was held accountable, wasn't he? Even if it was wrong. Even when you've been treated wrong. Vulnerability. Making yourselves vulnerable, folks. He was accountable. Saul, King Saul, was accountable to Samuel. Samuel came to him after he had went out and fought the Amalekites And Samuel come back, and Saul said, I've done everything the Lord commanded. And Samuel said, what meaneth then the bleeding of the sheep? He was accountable. Samuel made him accountable to God. God told you what to do and you didn't do it. So accountability, it's part of life. It's part of what is required of every one of us. David, after he had done what he did to Bathsheba, the Lord sent Nathan, the man of God alone, told him a little story. David got all bent out of shape, and Nathan said, you're the man. He was accountable, wasn't he? Nathan made him accountable for what he had done. God saw to it that David was made accountable and made known that what he did was wrong. Daniel made himself accountable to every king that he served under and to his peers. He made himself accountable. You need someone to be accountable to. You need someone you can talk to, someone you can confide in. We need to be accountable to one another, submissive to one another. Christ was in marked submission to his Father's will. Christ was accountable to his Father. And he said, not my will, but thy will be done. The 12 disciples, who were they accountable to? Jesus. They were accountable to Jesus. Everybody has someone to be accountable to. No man's an island. You don't live unto yourself. Somebody's watching you. Somebody thinks you're a pretty good person. We need to let our little light shine, don't we? Timothy and Titus, they were accountable to the Apostle Paul, weren't they? And Paul was accountable to who? He said, well, he didn't have anybody. Yes, he did. He said, I go bound in the Spirit. He was accountable to the Holy Spirit, folks. Isn't that a good place to live? Lord, help us to make ourselves accountable to the Holy Spirit. He said, I go bound in the Spirit. Don't know what's going to happen to me when I get there. But I don't count my life dear unto myself. Oh, I want to hold on to my life. I want to hold on to who I am. I want to hold on to me. But folks, the song says, let me lose my self and find it, Lord, in thee. Make me accountable to you, Lord. Make me accountable. Jesus Christ, he wants to reign in our hearts and lives. He wants us to willingly make ourselves accountable to him. He's our Father. We make ourselves accountable to our Heavenly Father. May the Lord bless us each one today. I tell you, it works. It does work. If we'll follow the path, if we'll follow the example that Christ has given us, it works. If we can keep ourselves and make ourselves humble before God. Pray for me. I want to be faithful. Amen.